What's up, nerds? And welcome back to your weekly dose of all that is pop culture and nerddom with your three favorite fat nerds. That's right, it's time for the flagship Three Fat Nerds podcast, better known as 3FN. And of course, as always, we are coming to you from the 8122 Production Studios at Dragon Master Games. I'm your host, Rich. And sitting across from me is the man who puts the over in overtime. I'm talking about Ron.
What's happening?
And of course, he's the man that doesn't need an introduction, but yet has the longest introduction in all podcasting. Ladies and gentlemen, hashtag Big Daddy Cool, hashtag Mad Dog Strong Style, hashtag Challenge Accepted, hashtag Diesel Malenko, because he is the man of 1,004 hashtags. He is your favorite podcaster's favorite podcaster. He is the man, the myth, and the legend, all rolled into one bearded ginger bundle. We're talking about Diesel.
Splosh, splosh, gobble, gobble.
Oh, there we go.
Gobbly gooker.
Yeah. Oh, the gobbly gooker made his appearance at Survivor Series 2020. That's for sure. And became 24/7 champion for a brief period of time. Yes. That's right, Diesel. I forgot to tell you that part.
I saw that online.
It was awesome. Once again, I got to remind everybody. I might as well do it on this podcast as well. There will be no new news episode of the wrestling show this week, because obviously we do that live on twitch.tv/6or7podcast, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Thursdays. Thursday is Thanksgiving here in the States, so we will be celebrating that. But instead, myself and Ken M have recorded a watch along for Survivor Series 1990, which also features the Gobbledygooker.
Yes.
The original appearance by the Gobbledygooker and another guy, a guy by the name of The Undertaker. I don't know if he's ever going to work out.
I don't know. He didn't look too good.
I don't know if he's going to work out or not, brother. Anyways, with that being said, that will be coming out on our YouTube channel. That's right. YouTube.com/6or7podcast, or just search 6or7 podcast on YouTube. And guess what? Boom. Subscribe to the channel, because it's going to be a lot of fun to get the updates. And there's going to be more stuff coming up on there as well. We will be back on twitch.tv/6or7podcast on Saturday. Starting at 8 p.m., as we are going to do UFC Fight Night. Of course, the main event for that is Blades versus Lewis. That's right. Derek Lewis is in action, Diesel. That's why you should come, because maybe his nuts are hot that night.
What?
That's all I'm saying. If you've never seen Derek Lewis's compilation of his promos, it's amazing. My balls was hot, Joe.
Tony Khan to take scrum advice from him.
Yeah, he should. Actually, they should just hire Derek Lewis to do the media scrums and all media announcements, because let's be honest, he's amazing. So that's what's coming up there. So with that being said, though, that's usually what I open with open plugs. So it's going to be a real short and open plugs today, because I don't have to mention either of those channels again. Because simple as this, if you want to talk to us about anything we talk about on the show, anything at all, make sure you're following us on the social medias. Three Fat Nerds Podcast on Facebook. Like and share the page. We are at Three Fat Nerds Pod on Twitter and Instagram. Hashtag 3FN whenever talking about the show. Also, pointing out, we always tell when we're going live on there as well, on Twitch, or, you know, when a YouTube video is up. Best way to get a hold of us. So if you're tuned into that, you'll know when we're going live on Twitch or when we're posting a video to YouTube and what channel, because there's going to be multiple channels eventually. A little tease there. But with that being said, if you want all the information for everything, 8122productions.com is your place to be. Go there, find out all about the Three Fat Nerds, the wrestling show, Love is Scare is included in that as well, but also Horror Zone 607. I was thinking of Spooky Mike for some reason. I wish he was in studio when we talked about what we talked about on Love is Scary, which we'll get into in a second, because I would have loved to see that reaction. We could friends of the show, like the Ocean Dura Parlay Hour, all the musical guests, everything else. Check it out at 8122productions.com. Speaking of 8122 Productions, you can support us monetarily on Patreon. Patreon.com/8122Productions. As little as $1 a month, you get a ton of bonus content, including this show every week early. And it's the uncut, unedited, uncooked version of the show. So you get a little bit extra in the beginning instead of the break. And you get two exclusive to Patreon shows. That is I Love Movies, myself and Ron discussing movies, giving reviews to older movies, newer movies, whatever we feel like every month. And of course, Love is Scary with Dr. Derek, the hottest show behind a paywall. And it has to stay there, because we'll be in deep shit if it's not. This week, it is Thanksgiving theme for all of the shows, and all of our Patreon shows are coming out this week for our patrons. I Love Movies, we're talking about the greatest Thanksgiving movie of all time. That, of course, is the Pauly Shore vehicle, Son-in-Law. And then Love is Scary.
feed her.
It is a feed her moment, as it will be Food Kings. So, actually, that episode will be out on Thanksgiving. You're welcome. I Love Movies will be out before then, so you can enjoy that. It's going to be a good time. And guess what? You can do all that for $1. It's amazing. It's amazing stuff. And I have a lot of fun doing it. So there you go. That's how to join us over on Patreon. And then you get to hear some real messed up stories and stuff and everything else that we do here. Well, guys, it's been a week. But you know what? It has been a week in news as well. So let's head right over to... the Nerd News. And, man, nothing happened this week. We're done. I know I make that joke a lot, especially when something big happens. But, man, last week after we recorded, we got hit with a bombshell. As HBO Max, well, actually Warner Media, announced that they were going to be releasing Wonder Woman 84 into theaters on December 25th.
Awesome.
But at the same time, they will also be releasing it on HBO Max.
What?
Now, Ronald.
Yes.
That has to cost you like $30 because that's what Disney Plus
does,
correct?
That Disney did.
So they have to be doing that, right?
Exactly.
Well, guess what, ladies and gentlemen? It does not cost you $30. All it costs you is your paid subscription to HBO Max. So as long as you have a subscription to HBO Max, and by the way, it could be free, because if you have the AT&T Unlimited plan, you get a free subscription to HBO Max, because AT&T owns Warner Media. So therefore, guess what? You could actually be watching it for what you're already paying for your phone bill. And if you're not that way, you're paying for it. If you're like me, guess what? I got in on the earlier thing so I could get it for $11.99. If not, it's $15. But here's the thing. I think that movie's worth $15. And then shortly after, when the new year starts, we're going to be getting the Snyder Cut as well. So how do you think, first of all, what do you think about the news that HBO Max will be showing and having on Wonder Woman 84, which was supposed to be one of the big blockbuster movies for them, on Christmas Day?
Oh, it's a big bucket of wind if you're HBO Max. Oh, my God.
Changing the game, by the way.
Yeah, that's great. Like, when I first saw the article, I'm like, oh, please don't be like another Mulan thing. And nope, they're just like, oh, here we go. We got it. You have it.
Yeah, I love it. I thought that was really good. I enjoyed the fact that they're going at a different angle. But I think that they're setting the bar for a reason. We don't know what's going to happen, ladies and gentlemen. We're not sure about everything, as you guys know. The more upside this world becomes, we don't know. We really don't.
Yeah.
So here's the thing. Even when movie theaters open up, I've been saying this for a while. I know on this show I've been saying it on Horror Zone. I've been saying it everywhere. Even when movie theaters open up, there's going to be a certain number of the population that won't want to go to movies. Even when movie theaters open up, they're not going to be able to be at full capacity. Like, relative numbers are somewhere between 25 and 50% full. So that means... and then you're going to have to completely sanitize the entire theater. So that's, you know, remember in the old days, it used to be like 15 minutes in between showings. Well, now it's going to be more like 30 to 45 minutes in between showings. So there's going to be less showings. So making your money as a movie company in the theater is not going to be like it was before. There ain't going to be an Avengers Endgame, not in the near future, like that kind of money. It's just not possible with limiting crowds and also limiting the amount of times because of cleaning. And I'm all for that. It's not like I'm against it. I'm just saying it's just fiscal. And of course, certain number of people are not going to go back to the theaters because they're not going to feel safe. So you're really cutting into your profits. With HBO Max did, and I think this is smart, and I think this is why they did it. We talked about the Stream Wars. We've been talking about even before COVID how serious they were, and now they've really ramped up. And HBO Max is wanting to be the contender. They want to be the top dog. I mean, they're releasing great stuff. Yeah. They're releasing the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air reunion. They own a lot of rights to a lot of amazing things. South Park. I mean, they have the second highest IPs behind Disney. But the difference is they went, hey, we'll just put it in as a price. We'll put out a brand new movie on Christmas Day that it will be in the theaters just so it's up for whatever awards it could be up for. And we know people aren't going to go see it necessarily, but... they'll bring in. I think they're going to make a decent chunk. My argument to somebody was like, they're losing money on the table. I'm like, but they're not. Because what is the difference between $0 and making, you know, if you know, a million people sign up, which will probably be more, making $15 million from the million people signing up? It's a big difference. It might not be what the movie was worth, but they're going to make zero at this point. And there's no guarantee when they would put it out in the theaters that it was going to make big buckets of money. if it makes 40 or 50 million, you're still in the same boat, you know? Yeah.
And plus, it's not like just that one time, all right, a million people bought in at $15. A lot of those people are going to continue the service, too.
Right, so absolutely.
It's going to grow and grow and grow. It just gets people in the door and just boop.
Yeah, and like I said, it's not too long into 2021 that they're launching Scott Snyder's, or not Scott Snyder, Zack Snyder's Justice League movie, the Snyder Cut. I don't know why I said Scott. Thinking about comic books, I guess. Yeah. But I mean, I think it's a big bucket of win for fans. I think it's a big bucket of win for HBO Max, especially in a battle that they're in the stream wars. I don't know. Ron, you got any differing opinions or you're all on board?
No, I'm all on board about it. I guess the lackluster movie Tenet, you know, the fact that they didn't make anywhere near what they wanted, that would kind of push for this to happen. And the fact that they're in the fact that Disney Plus tried with Mulan to charge you an extra $30.
According to them, it was a success. But they're going to say it's a success. According to outsiders, it wasn't a success.
Yeah. But, like, it's there. It'll people will jump on it. It'll go. The one thing is it's only there for 30 days.
Yes.
So, I mean, granted, you'll be able to watch it probably as much as you want for 30 days, obviously. And they'll be back. It'll come back, but it's only 30 days on HBO Max, which I might have.
I'm fine with.
I'm good with it. I probably would have done around 21, but, you know.
I would have done way less. You're kidding me? I've been like a week. Then it'll be back 3 months from now.
You go back old school. You can watch at 8 p.m. Eastern.
although they are stealing an idea from Disney that I did like. You have to be a paid subscription to watch it. You can't be in the free trial to watch it. That was their caveat.
Which is fine.
Disney's did the same thing with Hamilton.
Yeah.
And I'm fine with that. I'm fine. And Netflix is now doing that too, I do believe. They're doing the free version. That they don't give you a free trial anymore. They give you a free version, and they just don't show certain things. I am fine with that because think about it. They're only asking you for $15 for a movie. You were going to pay $15 to get one ticket. And chances are, if you were a family of three, you were paying for three tickets. So technically, you're saving $30 just for this movie. So I think that that's perfectly fair and fine. And like I said, if you signed up early or if you're an AT&T customer, you're good because anybody who signed up early got it for $11.99 a month instead of the $15. Anybody who's an AT&T customer and has the unlimited plan gets it for free. And that does include it there because technically it is a paid subscription. It's just paid through AT&T themselves, but whatever. Same thing that Disney Plus did with Verizon.
I had the unlimited plan.
For Disney Plus?
For Regal.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I could have gone and watched it as many times as I wanted to.
That is true, but guess what? The theater's closed, bitch.
Damn it.
Yeah, but now you can watch it without your pants on. Regal looks down on that. Regal frowns upon that, and I believe me, I know.
Have you not been to the theaters with me? My pants are never on. You were reaching for the butter popcorn an awful lot that night, too. That's all I got to say.
Yeah, but you were asleep.
So,
Uncle Drew,
dude, that beginning of that movie was so slow.
Yeah, it was a little slow. That was still,
but
fun.
Still,
but that was when I got my sleep apnea machine. So, CPAP machine. So I'm good now.
No, what you do is when the movie theater's open, you start bringing the CPAP machine with you.
Diesel frequents movie theaters with Paul Rubens. If you get that reference, good on you. But yeah, I think it's a good bucket of win, and I think they're going to get a lot of things out of this. And I'm looking for that to change the game because now I think a lot of the other ones are going to. There's a lot of movies out there that weren't going to make a ton of money. Let's be honest, anyways, that I think should start trying to sell to Netflix and everywhere else because I'm sure Netflix will buy one of the blockbusters. Because even when 2021 hits, let's say the theaters open and they're at certain capacity, like I just said, there's uncertainties about it. Plus, there's so many movies coming out because it's all of what was coming out in 2020 plus all of what was going to come out in 2021. Like, nobody pushed any of the 2021 films back. So literally you are going to have a flooding, and you're going to have blockbusters lined up together, and once again with limited capacity and limited times, it's going to be a train wreck.
Yeah.
So a lot of those are going to go to services quicker anyways because they're going to try to make some money somehow. So I think if you're on the lower, like, I'm not saying the low end, but a lower end movie that's not going to be like we've talked about before, that maybe doesn't have the franchise power. Like, if you're a James Bond, you're fine to be in the theater. If you're, you know, obviously the Ghostbusters movie is fine to stay in the theater. I mean, people are going to pay to see that, you know, et cetera. Those things might bring people out. But if you're like, you know, random movie, you know, and I'm not saying Wonder Woman was, that was a big movie for them to move.
Yeah.
But if you're a random fucking movie, it might be a good idea to go, hey, maybe I said on Netflix, maybe I can get it to Warner or somebody else and they'll put it out. So that way I can make some money and still get seen. Like right now, if I'm Disney Plus, man, right now the ball's in your court. You have a movie called Black Widow that nobody gives a shit about that's holding up some of your television products. So I just say put it on Disney Plus on the same day to have a little bit of war.
Yeah.
But they probably won't, because the greed with the mouse is real, bro.
Yeah, but they might pull this one.
No. No, you got to push that and the Eternals back so we can get the New Mutants in proper with theater reveal.
It's already on DVD.
Yeah, it's already on DVD now and Blu-ray. Ugh. It'll be on Disney Plus soon, actually. I think it is in December that comes on Disney Plus. But I'm just saying, I'm just only saying that because most people are, let's be honest, there's somebody who's going to be like, well, I'm interested in Black Widow. Really? Are you really interested in more than you were in Endgame or any of the other Marvel movies?
I'm only interested in it because of Taskmaster.
I bet you Wonder Woman 84 is better.
Oh, I guarantee.
I was saying that beforehand. Wonder Woman 84 looked a lot better.
I don't know. You got Florence Pugh versus Kristen Wiig. I'm going with my girl, Florence Pugh.
You got Gal Gadot, though.
Yeah, but you got Kristen Wiig.
Gal Gadot that you can watch at home.
As a crazy cat lady. I already did that. I was quarantined. I had to listen to the Imagine tapes.
Hashtag the ritual?
Oh, there was no ritual to the Imagine tapes.
Okay.
There was just douche chills and hatred.
I was just making sure, because you never know with you. Never know.
And then after the hatred subsided, then hashtag the ritual.
Well, speaking of Disney Plus and their Marvel TV shows that are on hold, we do know when one's coming out, and that, of course, is WandaVision, which comes out on my birthday, January 15th, 2021. They have now started to kind of amp up the talking about it. Kevin Feige, the czar of Marvel, sat down with Empire Magazine to talk a little bit about WandaVision, and I thought this was interesting. This is what he says. If you look at the Infinity Saga, I don't think any single person has gone through more pain and trauma than Wanda Maximoff, and no character seems to be as powerful as Wanda Maximoff, and no character has a power set that is as ill-defined and unexplored as Wanda Maximoff. So it seemed exploring that would be worthwhile post-Endgame. Who else is aware of that power? Where did it come from? Did the Mind Stone unlock it? He does go on to say, you know, about how it does tie in to Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness. Yeah. Sorry, I was tongue-tied for a second. Yeah. And also goes on to say that the reason why it looks like the old TV shows and the reason he shot the format that it's going to go through all like different eras of TV looking is because he loved TV and watched far too much The Dick Van Dyke Show and I Love Lucy and Bewitched and everything. We go to the Modern Family and The Office style, the talk to the camera, shaky camera documentary style. It's all in there. That's how they're going to progress it. I dig that take.
I dig it.
So with that being said, is this good? First of all, he says her name way too much.
Right.
And it's just like, we all want to see the transition to the Scarlet Witch. I mean, the teaser even for the article from Empire's her in the Scarlet Witch getup that she's wearing for a Halloween costume thing.
Yeah.
So, and I'm assuming that's what we're going to deal with going into Multiverse of Madness. Where are you guys at?
I think they're shooting at like the TV show too. Like it's going to be like her in a depression and like, but I love the way that they're filming it, and she's a cool character, and he's right. Like, her powers haven't been touched. She's gone through pretty much the most of anybody in the movie franchise, with the exception of people who had actually died. But
but she lost her brother. Then she lost the love of her life,
and then she made Thanos have to scorched earth policy because he was that afraid of her.
Yeah, no, I'm good with it.
I can't wait for this show.
I mean, and then like I said, hopefully it does set up for mutants and bring in the X-Men, like it or not.
Classic love stories from the comics with her and Quicksilver.
Ooh,
it happened. Oh. I'm sorry, people.
Well, keeping that same energy, Diesel, I did promise our patrons before the show, and now everybody else will find out, that I was going to bring a little bit of Love is Scary, and it had something to do with WandaVision. So this past week, Paul Bettany, who plays the Vision, of course, in the movies, sat down with MTV's Josh Horowitz, and Josh asked him the burning question that's been on everybody's mind. He asked about the size and color of Vision's penis. Something that Diesel would have asked, so I'm kind of surprised by this. And guess what? Usually guys don't answer that question. Usually stars won't. Not Paul Bettany. Paul Bettany's exact quote is, "He's purple." And then it goes, "Vision can change his density," so there's that.
It's like, though.
So, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Diesel, does this mean that Vision, of course, Vision can change, so Vision can be whatever he wants. With that, so technically, depending upon the lady friend he's with, she's a size queen, he's got her. If she likes it a little smaller, he's got her. Do you think he's the perfect lover?
No, actually, I would say not even if you go into the entire comic book universe, I think he's still got to go with the Watchman, Dr. Manhattan.
Oh, so you don't think he's comparing with Dr. Manhattan?
He's not comparing with Dr. Manhattan.
But he can make it bigger than Manhattan's.
He can, but Dr. Manhattan was packing pretty good. He got all those Asians in the Vietnam War to be like, bow down and kneel. Two, he could read his lover's mind and access into those fantasies, which then upset his lover. But apparently at the time, she was thinking about multiple Dr. Manhattans. So I don't think so. And then, like, yeah, he can, you know, he can balloon animal, but the first family of Marvel, Mr. Fantastic can do it better.
Okay, well, Ron, where are you at in this?
I'm with it. I'm with Mr. Fantastic. Just being
there. The only thing I could say is
you have Mr. Fantastic winning hands down, including Dr. Manhattan?
Yeah.
Well, no. Oh, okay. See, the only thing he's got going for him is he is a machine. So it's like, it all depends on Mr. Fantastic's stamina. Like, if he's a quick pop, you know, the built-in Sibian with a personality might take it over.
Well, I'm going to go with the unpopular decision. I'm going to say, judging by the size that Dr. Bruce Banner grows when he becomes the Hulk, that means if he even had an average penis, the size of the Hulk's penis is ridiculous. Because think about the when you multiply, everything grows, if it grows the same rate, oh man, Hulk smash has a whole new meaning.
What happens if Bruce Banner is into SPH?
Oh, wait, better yet, what if he's with his partner and then he gets angry? What if he's giving her the old hate F and all of a sudden, boom.
Goes back to the Mars conversation about Superman and needing a kryptonite condom.
Yeah, I think it's there.
If you have a shotgun blast, it'd just be like,
goodbye.
Well, we all know it's not Spider-Man because he kills Mary Jane with radioactive sperm.
Oh. Yeah, that's the price to pay for painfully average.
To be fair, though, it wasn't confirmed that it was him. I'm pretty sure Peter Parker was a cock. Max Gungan killed her.
Well, I mean, let's be honest. It did play out in a different Spider-Man universe, technically, where, Gwen Stacy gets knocked up by Osborn.
Well, yeah.
By Norman Osborn, even.
Yeah, well, you know, Norman likes young girls.
I know.
So doesn't King Jerry the King Lawler. Like, it's no big
deal. Whoa! Allegedly. Hello.
Yeah, allegedly. Hello. Nothing.
That's the second time a fun story came up like that during the watch along. We had another one. Anyways, with that being said, moving on. let's move off of that and move on to the fact that we got an announcement this week. It's a rumored announcement, but I mean, a lot of people are going with it. It looks like the Boba Fett spinoff show that is, of course, being set up now on Mandalorian Season 2, as we know, is going to be a prequel to The Mandalorian. So it will still be post-return, but it will be a prequel to The Mandalorian. So you're going to find out what happened to Boba Fett after the Sarlacc pit. That's where I was going with. And how we get to where we're going to be here in the season of Mandalorian. Obviously, I think this was the smart bet. I thought this was what they were going to do the whole time, but I guess some people thought it was going to be post. How you feeling?
I love it, because if you go too far back, they already took care of it in the animated series, and plus young Boba Fett was a little bit of a bitch. This coming out of the Sarlacc pit, seeing how he survives and where he goes, this is what everyone wants to see. Like, all the Boba Fett fans that's what they want to see.
I got you. I hear you there. Ron, you good with this?
Yeah, I'm good with it. It's the perfect place to put it. I mean, it should have been a story that was told already. The fact that it's taken this long kind of sucks, but, you know, it's fine.
So, in the final news story this week for Nerd News, we are going to talk about something we teased our patrons for, because usually we tell them what we're talking about. We teased them about two subjects this week. Here's the second one. Breaking news today. It looks like Ken Jennings, the person who won the most money on Jeopardy ever, is going to be returning to Jeopardy as the interim host following Alex Trebek's passing. But they did mention interim, so I'm assuming that LeVar Burton still could be in the running. But I got to say it. We got to give it up. Diesel actually called that he thought Ken Jennings, but prior to LeVar Burton, which we agreed would be a great idea. But prior to that, right after the passing of Alex Trebek, he did say that it would probably be Ken Jennings. So congratulations on being right. How do you feel about the move to have the interim host be Ken Jennings?
It's pretty cool, because he's probably by far the most famous Jeopardy contestant of all time. Has the records and all that. Like, he made Jeopardy that one year. It was like the Ken Jennings saga. It's great. And he was extremely intelligent. And the charisma's almost there.
Maybe he has a little extra. You never know. You good with it, Ron?
Yeah, I'm good with it. I'm fine with it. I mean, like I said, they're probably going to go give a few different people tries, you know, do like a week with him or 2 weeks with him, and because they just gang tape them anyways. So,
and eventually it's going to land on Meredith Vieira's lap, and then Jeopardy is no more.
Yeah, I'm hoping. I'm still hoping for LeVar Burton as a permanent replacement eventually, if we're going to have that, which we know we're going to as a juggernaut. But I'm happy for Ken Jennings. I do think he's an awesome dude. So therefore, this is kind of a really cool homage, if you will, because if the guy who spent a lot of time with Alex Trebek, let's be honest, and on that massive win streak, plus on top of that, you know, who knows more? You can't be like, oh, the guy's not smart enough. Oh no, he's probably smarter than every contestant that's not going to be on the show. Which, if he turns that some kind of you know, weakest link style, that could be good.
Yeah. Now, do you think on April Fool's Day they bring in Will Ferrell?
That'd be awesome.
Oh, that would be great. They should bring in
Just that
would
plays be great. It straight as Alex Trebek the entire time and not acknowledging that he's doing a character. Just plays it straight up.
Like, well, he does things like, remember when he did the whole stand-up as George Bush?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think, I'm in.
I would go with that. I think they should do that. That'd be funny.
That would definitely be funny. I'd definitely be a fan of that. But we're done with the nerd news this week, which means we're entering
Welcome to Dungeon Master Corner this week. Not too much breaking news or anything for D&D going on. I did get Tasha's Cauldron of Everything book, the special edition cover from the shop, and I was skimming through it. I didn't get to read it all yet, but they do have the psionics in there with the psi thief, the psi knife, or soul knife, or whatever they call the rogue with it, and then the psi warrior were the two that I saw. I didn't see the other ones in there. It's pretty, they did nerf it enough to where it shouldn't be that much overpowered. They did bring some new spells that seem to be pretty decent to give some other choices for cantrips and all that stuff, which is also a plus. So now you can make your, you know, get a little more choices, so you're not always making the same rounds, because a lot of people, like it or not, pick the same spells when they do a wizard or same spells when they pick a cleric. They do have a lot, you know, the sub classes in there. There's like the astral monk that actually looks kind of interesting to me to make, because like you can make astral projections of his body parts.
You can Doctor Strange this bitch.
Yeah, not like that, but yeah, but like that if you get a high enough level. But it's like you first start off with adding two extra arms. Okay. And then you move into adding like a helmet. But it's an astral projection of what you want your face to look like in battle type of deal. And then you finally get an astral projection. Yeah, exactly. But
face.
Yeah.
Oh. If someone comes rushing at me in battle with their O face going, I'm done.
Done. No, like it seems interesting. There's a bunch of other ones in there for every class. The funny thing that we got told about was if a city appears out of nowhere overnight, it's probably a mimic colony, meaning it's a bunch of mimics that join together to survive, and they just copy like a whole town. Which is actually kind of funny,
like a hive mind.
Yeah, and that's if they're together, they have the hive mind, and then any mimics born out of this ended up having the hive mind all together. So it's a nice little thing, because in the one campaign I had a monk that just thought mimics were everywhere, but the sad thing is he never ran into a mimic. But he thought they were everywhere because he got attacked by a carpet. He got attacked by, like, furniture, like, that weren't mimics, but he thought they were 100% mimics. So
That monk should have been a master of the drunken kung fu.
That was before they had it. it was my son soul. So he was basically Ryu. So he basically shot his Hadouken at a chair in a bar because he thought it laughed.
Okay.
It's like, so that's just, and it's still a funny thing that goes through our campaign groups that on my Wednesday group, and the funny part is, like, yeah, I find it hilarious that something like that just holds up, and that's what makes the game great, is like you can have different characters and whatnot, but have one that like that happened, like, and like if you ever play him again, like you get through, you're like, oh well, you know, he's gonna think that's a mimic, and you're just fighting. Like if a town pops up and he gets lost in a mimic colony, I think he would probably kill himself, and it would be amazing. But you know, they got a lot of artifacts. There are some other artifacts that were reconditioned from like Advanced Dungeons and Dragons second edition. It's solid. It's worth the $50 if you, because it brings in some of the other it brings in a lot of other stuff through the rules of D&D plus one book, so it puts everything together. So you can have like this be your one book and not have to worry about, you know, other books and trying to, you know, if you want this, that, or the other thing. It's definitely a big companion piece to add to your campaigns and whatnot for, you know, players and making your characters. I mean, that's the main part of it all. But it's definitely worth the $50. You know, being the fact that it was a smaller book, I was questionable about it, but I, you know, obviously I knew I would be getting it. But like I said, it's definitely worth the money. I didn't get through it all, but it's there. It's what it needs to be. So, you know, that's all I really got this week. You know, if you have any questions.
I have something else. Oh. You did get a game in finally.
Oh, yes. Yeah. That's right. I forgot. The Kickstarter game of Streets of Steel showed up. I got it at home. I go, it's got Ninja Kangaroos. I got them out.
Yeah, we got it. We have to play. We definitely have to play this.
I got to read it.
They stole my killer marsupial idea for Boulevard of Bad Feeling. Those rat bastards.
Well, I mean, to be fair, you stole their idea for Boulevard.
Yeah, but it was going to be Klansmen Koalas.
Klansmen Koalas.
Oh, jeez. Oh.
But
Diesel. Diesel, I was already searching for songs for later, and you're making me do it again.
So y'all need to have your kids, have your wife, and have your husband, because they're raping everybody out here.
I wasn't talking about the Bad Clan. I was talking about the Foot Clan. Foot Clan Koalas.
Okay. Yeah, good save.
Good save.
Anyway,
the hand platypus.
Anyways, we'll have to play it. Maybe we'll play it on camera. Maybe we'll do that. Yeah, it'll be a lot of fun. But we gotta read up on it first.
Yeah, instructions and
sounds
all that stuff.
It sounds like a lot of fun. I would like to check this game out. Fuck shout!
No, it seems fun because it's based on Streets of Steel or Streets of Rage or any side scroller.
Yeah.
Final Fight.
Dragon was
Double
the best.
Dragon. Yeah. But it's just that, and
I do love playing Double Dragon. I'm gonna throw that in.
And the movie's phenomenal.
But and then like the boards, you know, you just add to the board, so you don't know what's gonna happen next. And then if the last piece, like I think it only goes four or five, and then the last piece of your character's on there like dies because it fell off the game, and then you got quarters to continue with. So they make it a feel of like an arcade game. And like I said, all the extra miniatures and stuff that I paid for, you know, like, I don't care. There's going to be Ninja Kangaroos in every campaign that I do from now on.
Yeah.
It's Ninja Kangaroos. I just got to convert them to 5th edition.
I'm with you. I'm with it. I think it's great. So I can't wait to see this stuff. So with that being said, we are going to go to break. When we come back from the break, it's going to be Talking Nerd has become basically Talking Mando. We're going to have a little bit of Mandalorian stuff, but we have some really exciting Star Wars conspiracy theories, if you will. They would be conspiracy theories, correct?
I got a different title than Talking Mando, though.
What do you got?
Dishon Djarin. Because that's his name, Dishon Djarin. Dishon Djarin.
I'll take it under advice there.
It's better than Talking Mando.
It is.
It pulls off a little worse, but it's got the alliteration.
It is Talking Nerd still. So we're going to go over to the Talking Nerd segment after the break. And then after that, of course, it will be the main event. Diesel's movie, Triple Stuff. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Hey, this is Ken M.
Padawan J.
Coach Duffy.
From the Ocho Duro Parlay Hour podcast. And you're listening to the Three Fat Nerds podcast.
You're falling apart. Try and try to hide it, but you show it. I need you to know, I felt it too. And I'm still trying to figure it out, just like you. Just like you. Just like you.
If you could in a galaxy far away, Naboo was under an attack. And I thought me and Qui-Gon Jinn could talk the Federation into maybe cutting them a little slack. But but their response, it didn't thrill us. They locked the doors and tried to kill us. We escaped from that gas, then met Jar Jar and Boss Nass. We took a bongo from the scene and we went to feed to see the queen. We all wound
got how
up
long
on
this opening part is.
That's where we found this boy. Oh my, this
there we
Anakin guy.
Maybe there it is. I was trying to get to the chorus line. I forgot how long this was.
It's like the whole story.
And I'm like, yeah, bro. So, yeah.
God damn it. I'm going to go in. It's twice this week you got me with Weird Al. I'm going to go in and Weird Al rabbit hole this week.
Dude, I was doing the same thing. So I'm looking at the playlist that comes up for Weird Al. It's pretty good.
Yeah.
With that being said, on YouTube Music. But yeah, anyways, it's time for Talking Nerd. We're going to talk some Star Wars. But first, we've been talking Mandalorian, not doing reviews and stuff. I know a lot of other people are. Check out our good friends like 30 and Nerdy and Ocho Duro Parlay Hour as they are covering it on a review basis, episode by episode. Now, here we just like to pick out certain things to talk about. And we've had some fun. We've had genocide. We've had, you know, some rumor and innuendo based on one of the best episodes of Diesel's favorite episode thus far. And this week, we have Crewman Gate.
Yep.
That's what I'm calling it, at least. As this week's episode featured a crew member who got himself in the scene. A la, you know, the Game of Thrones Starbucks coffee cup. I didn't think this was as big of a deal as some people made it out to believe. And I just feel bad for Carl Weathers. Not only did he make his triumphant return to the screen, but he was also the director of this episode.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't easily seen when you were watching this.
And to be fair, they've already introduced that ETs are part of this thing. Maybe they just got Henry Thomas back.
Sure. Ooh.
It fits in. It might be a galaxy a long time ago and far, far away. But time travel and all that stuff all exists now. Boom.
They just found one of our ships with some jeans on it. And
it was the flight of the Navigator kid.
I'm with you. I'm down.
You can write it in anyway.
By the way,
second
Paul Rubens comment of the day, ladies and gentlemen. If you're keeping count of how many times we're going to mention Pee Wee Herman, we're in.
I sat through that with Disney Plus when we first got. I'm like, that's fucking Pee Wee. Like,
dude, you got to love his fake name in that movie.
Yeah,
though.
I forget what it was.
I forgot it too. It was here. Look it up. It was actually. It was amazing that he used an assumed name for that movie. Yeah. But he does the Pee Wee voice the whole time.
Yeah.
But in the Star Wars universe, anything is possible. So it's not as egregious as Starbucks gate.
No. And I agree with you. I do agree with you. But I just thought it was funny that became like the talk of the internet.
Paul Mall.
Yeah, it was Paul Mall after the cigarettes. I remember that's why we were laughing about it, because of the cigarettes.
As Paul Mall.
Paul Rubens as Paul Mall. As
the creepy uncle of Darth Mall.
possibly. As the voice of the Navigator in Flight.
Max.
Well, no, not the... It was Max, because the Navigator's the kid. I forgot.
Yeah. He needed to find a Navigator.
Yes. So, yes, it's great that it's him the whole time. So, that's going to be the Mandalorian take this week, because I really didn't think it was a big issue, but some people did, obviously.
Yeah.
But we have a couple cool stories that we wanted to get to, and I'm going to thank young Derek for most of these. So the first one we're going to do is the one that's near and dear to his heart, and then we'll do the other one that I think is a little more disturbing, but more likely. So the one that's near and dear to your heart is the fact that the next episode of The Mandalorian is entitled The Jedi, of course, which means most people are thinking this is when we are going to get Ahsoka Tano.
I'm hoping... with bated breath, and they're saying that the runtime on this is the longest so far in the series.
Right.
So, can't wait. Hopefully, we get the payoff.
Right. So, he wants Ahsoka Tano, but just as much, he would be happy with the mystery of the Ewok Jedi Knight.
Yes.
Diesel, do you want to explain, kind of like in a nutshell, like we don't have to go too far in depth, how the mystery of the Ewok Jedi Knight came about?
All right. So, apparently, there's a playable character in one of the video games, and it's sort of just a Jedi Ewok, and there's no backstory to him yet.
Yeah.
That's it.
But people are starting to make a backstory for him already, which is kind of funny, like, because Reddit's already to work.
But the animation is that they put with the article is amazing. Just a pissed off looking Ewok with a lightsaber. Awesome.
Yeah.
And plus, through canon, like in Return of the Jedi, they did believe in magic. So magic, in their sense, would just be the Force, probably.
Yeah.
And all creatures have an M count, as we learned.
M cell.
What?
M cell.
What's M cells?
M cells. Yeah, that's the midichlorians now.
Yeah, but the count for that. So it could happen because, like, in the animated series, we learned about, like, the Night Sisters. Like, magic in that universe is just another manifestation of the Force. So it could happen. Plus, he would beat the shit out of Chewbacca's Jedi nephew.
Okay.
Without a doubt. And I still think that in Star Wars Babies, a baby Ewok is still going to be bigger than a baby Ewok. Or
a baby Ewok's going to be bigger than a baby Ewok?
Baby Wookiee, yes. They're the same thing, let's be honest.
Well, awesome. With that being said, I would be interested to see if that's true.
With a shitty fucking wooden lightsaber.
It's all right.
Ah.
Whatever. It's a
go back to Kashyyyk.
Yeah, but it's a kid's show, so they were trying to show other sides of things. I mean, yeah.
True story. But that's not the more tantalizing one, if you will. So if you are one of our fans who was disgusted by the Baby Yoda genocide of the frog eggs, this is your time to find out that it might not just be Baby Yoda. It might be the real Yoda. And that might just be an appetite. So I do want to give credit where credit's due. This is from a CBR.com article entitled Star Wars Theory. Yoda wasn't an exile on Dagobah. He was its apex predator. And this was written by Jeanette White. So in the article, I'm going to read you a quick excerpt to tell why the exile. This is kind of the reason the exile in Dagobah happened. If you guys didn't know, and I think she spelled it out better than I could, so I'm just going to read it. Season 6 of the Clone Wars also reveals Yoda's initial Dagobah visit was more of a business trip. Before the fall of the Jedi, Yoda decides he will seek refuge on the planet when the Jedi are hunted down. The main reason for this is because of the planet's peculiar and strong connection to the Force, allowing him to still train. So that is the actual reason why Yoda chose Dagobah. However, she goes on, and this is important, to say, of course, this is the most likely explanation behind Yoda's decision. However, Dagobah's connection to the Force may not be its only appeal. Dagobah is a mist-shrouded, swampy planet with a majority of the terrain being bogs and shallow lakes. Like most swampy areas, the planet is filled with snakes, frogs, and a variety of other creepy crawlies. Although this wouldn't be a selling point for most people, it might be for Yoda, based on what fans have learned about his species on The Mandalorian. So they are saying that possibly the reason that Yoda chose Dagobah was because he liked him some froggy nuggies as well.
Froggy nuggies.
So he could have been the apex predator, and that's why we didn't see so many creatures all around except for the bigger ones that he probably didn't kill. I want to know, Diesel, you said this. Do you think this is a possibility?
It is 100% plausible because you're just like, hey, I got to get out of Dodge. I checked out this planet. I talked to my dead homie on this planet. And there's a ton of food here. Yes, it's a vacation. I don't have to worry about getting found by the Empire. I get to talk with my dead buddy, and I get to eat my favorite foods.
And
yes.
And gorge on them.
Yes.
Gorge. There's an endless supply. It's like a buffet.
Yes. You leave the bigger ones there because eventually you're going to be like whittled down the lower stock, the smaller stuff, and then you're going to have to get the big stuff. Well, you can eat that for a while you let the other stuff replenish.
Froggy nuggies.
So basically, maybe it is in the Yoda species, because once again, we do not technically know what his species is called. Maybe it is in their species. They just like to eat the froggies and the froggy nuggies and the snakes and the little creatures. Maybe that's a thing. I'm just saying. So don't be judging the child / baby Yoda for genocide. He was just doing what his species does best.
Some nice fish facehugger soup.
Why not? Why not?
So the spiders.
You never know. Yoda might have ate everything.
Oh yeah.
He might have just been like an eating machine because we never saw him eat. That doesn't mean he didn't. Think about it. Everything has to have sustenance.
I'm good with it.
I think the only thing we ever actually saw him eat in the actual movies was broth.
Yeah, but maybe that was just because he was trying to not freak out a young Luke Skywalker. Because if you think about it. Wouldn't it freak you out if all of a sudden you look at your master and he was just downing a fucking frog?
Well, he was dying. So,
well, to be fair, too.
Just so he probably couldn't handle.
But once again, you can't freak out a young kid either.
No, because you gotta realize he's probably eating the same stuff. It's not Westeros. There's no Starbucks down there.
It's true.
You got to eat the salacious crumb looking animals. So Luke probably ingested a lot of Froggy nuggies
too. Oh man, genocide for all. Gotta love it.
Ooh, what's better with the froggy nuggies? Not chalky milk, blue milk. Ooh. Froggy nuggies and blue
not
milk.
Not green milk?
Chocolate muggies and blue milk.
Not the green milk, just the blue milk?
And this comes right straight from the
source. Fresh from the source.
With that being just like said, the picture I showed you earlier.
Oh, jeez. Well, with that being said, that'll bring us to the end of this week's Talking Nerd. Oh, but don't you fret, because we have the main event of the evening coming up.
That's right, it's Diesel's movie Triple Stuff. Alright, our top 5 this week. The re-release of The Santa Claus came in at number 5 with $461,000.
I can see that.
Oh, Tim Allen needs a comeback. Number 4, Come Play with $562,500.
Kind of want to see it.
Let Him Go at $724,100.
Oops, sorry.
Ron's
playing the guitar.
I was playing the guitar. Sorry.
$23,000 more than that at $747. The War with Grandpa.
Still making money.
And the number one movie this weekend was pulling in the whopping. Wow, I don't know how Tenet didn't make their bank. $1.3 million for Freaky.
Well, actually, they've made their money back. Between that and international, they've actually made their money back because the movie only cost $6 million to make.
Okay.
So the first week they did 5.6, and with that, without even counting the second week in international, they made the money back. Nice. I've heard good things. I kind of want to see it, but I'm obviously waiting until it's on streaming sites and stuff. Of course, that is where it's Freaky Friday with the serial killer. Yeah. So a girl who was going to be a victim now is the serial killer, and her body has been entered into the serial killer. Played by Vince Vaughn.
Yeah. So Vince Vaughn's playing a girl.
Interesting.
Yeah. I think that you might be into watch it. I will watch it first just to make sure it's not too terrifying for you. But it doesn't sound like it's too terrifying. It sounds like it's more of a psychological thriller.
Yeah.
So it's getting a lot of great reviews. We talked about it a little bit on Horror Zone 607. So, well, that brings us to the top three, Diesel.
Top three. And it's been a food-centric week for the three fat nerds.
Mm-hmm.
So this week's top three is with Thanksgiving looming right down the corner. What top three things are you looking forward to on Thanksgiving?
Well, I was going to mess with you and say egg salad, but I don't need egg salad on Thanksgiving. So I got to say, at sitting at the number three spot, just to pat my own back for Thanksgiving this year, I am making my world famous candy yams, pretty much. Ooh. But it's a sweet potato casserole. It's very delicious. Sometime I'll have to bring some for you boys. It's good stuff. It takes a lot of energy to make, because you use fresh sweet potatoes and such. So
it gives you a lot of energy though because of all the stuff you got to put in it.
Absolutely. Number two that I'm looking forward to going also with food is I mentioned during the pre-show, it wasn't during the main show, that I will be having a very small get together. There's only six of us for Thanksgiving. My grandmother-in-law, my Gigi, if you will, makes the best desserts on the planet. So I know she's bringing dessert. So nice. That's always, I don't know what she's bringing yet. I'm hoping for peach cobbler because that's one of her best, but she makes everything so damn good that I can't wait. And number one, I'm looking forward to taking a nap while watching some football. And this year, of course, the Dallas Cowboys have to play, which means it's nap time, baby. Right after I eat, I can just take a nap because you know they suck. And my father-in-law is a Dallas Cowboys fan, so it's even better.
Nice.
I can sleep to his tears.
That's all the good old rain sounds.
Oh man. Ronald,
number three is actually I'm having my buddy Tro over in the morning. I believe he's coming over. We're gonna make some breakfast and stuff and hang out for a little bit before I go to my parents' house, which is at like 4 in the afternoon or something. So then two will be my parents' house, obviously. Yeah, chill. Yeah. There was over there the other night, had some actually fun conversations with my mother. And then number one is just eating the food. I'm not even going to lie.
Okay. Diesel?
You're not going to lie. My top three are foods.
I just lumped it all in one.
Oh, right now I am really looking forward to the Thanksgiving meal sandwiches. When you take that Grand's biscuit, cut it in half, put a little bit of stuffing on there, a little bit of the turkey, a little bit of the gravy, and you just chomp down on that hot sandwich. Number two? Stuffing. And don't give me none of that, like, sausage stuffing or... No, no. Classic stuffing. You fill up the bird and you fill up a pan. And you cook them both at the same time.
Oh, yeah.
And then number one is the 9 p.m. Let me take some of that cold turkey, white bread, mayonnaise, salt and pepper. A little bit of that leftover stuffing if there is, if you're lucky. Boom.
No mustard.
That's all I'm looking forward to. No mustard.
Oh, you need mustard.
No.
Wow. You're turning down the mustard. But, you know, I guess that you guys, that sounds good. It's making me hungry because I haven't ate dinner yet.
I have gas station food for dinner.
So with that being said, that brings us to the main event of the main event, Diesel's Movie Club. And I know you're excited for this one.
Yes, we talked about it last week. I mentioned that this movie was streaming on Hulu, and I was excited. And then that night, I went home and watched it. We've been talking about this movie since we saw the trailers originally, what, a year and a half ago?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that is Peanut Butter Falcon.
All the things, it was produced by Armory Films, Lucky Treehouse, Bonafide Productions, Endeavor Content, and distributed by Roadside Attractions, which distributes a lot. So they've distributed a bunch of the Kevin Smith films as well.
Yeah.
Release date. Originally, it was released on March 9th, 2019 for South by Southwest, but then it had its big one on August 9th, 2019. It's got a runtime of 98 minutes. It was written by Tyler Nilsen and Michael Schwartz. It was directed by Tyler Nilsen and Michael Schwartz as well. And there's a long line of producers, so I'm not going to go through that. But it is starring Shia LaBeouf, Zach Gottesgan, Dakota Johnson, John Hawks, Bruce Dern, John Barenthal, and Thomas Hayden Church, amongst others. It was got a budget of $6.2 million. And it was a big bucket of win because it made $23.3 million, although it was a very small release.
Yeah, very small release and very acclaimed.
Yes.
And why did you love this movie, Diesel?
Just the basic premise of it was enough to get me to want to see this. But it actually had a lot of heart. It was a cool little story. There were some scenes and storyline telling that I didn't agree with, but overall the message was very enjoyable and very, like, it pulled at your emotions. It was very good.
It did.
The one that really got me, though, without spoiling anything, but you'll know what I'm talking about, is I'm giving you all my birthday wishes.
Oh man.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
The ending, I think they could have gone a more depressing route.
They should have done that.
I think they copped out and...
I think there's two endings. They had to have done the other one.
Yeah, but the ending that they gave us was the cop-out ending.
Yeah.
And it was the, no. We got to have it end on a happy note. Couple of great cameos in it.
Yes.
My favorite being, well, you already said Thomas Hayden Church was in it as the Saltwater Redneck. Amazing. Great. And when he comes back... rips it, run with the car. Yeah. That kind of got me too.
Yeah, that was good though, because finally somebody came to see him. Yeah. And
but Jake the Snake Roberts is hateable.
Yes,
in this movie.
No, I mean, very, very hateable
as Samson. And the promoter of the Backyard Wrestling League, the referee, Mick Foley.
Yep,
so good.
That's even better.
Yeah.
By the way, how that all fits in is the synopsis of the film, because you did kind of gloss over it. This is straight from IMDb. After running away from a residential nursing home to pursue his dream of becoming a pro wrestler, a man who has Down syndrome befriends an outlaw who becomes his coach and ally. So it's kind of like The Wizard, only with the Down syndrome kid and Shia LaBeouf.
Yeah, that old guy that he was in there was an asshole.
Yeah. And involving wrestling, which we love very, very much. Yeah. So I have not watched it yet. Unfortunately, I didn't have a ton of time this weekend doing a bunch of stuff, prepping for Thanksgiving week as far as all the stuff from podcasting and streaming goes. So I will be sitting down because I have a few days this week now that are free because we've gotten all the work done. So I'm definitely interested. Both of you gentlemen saw it and told me it's very good thing. So it's everything we did.
It's definitely worth watching.
So it was everything we hoped for when we wanted to see this, when we tried to see it in the theaters, and then realized we had to drive like 4 hours away to see it.
Yeah, super good. And yeah, there's definitely a few moments that just, they'll get you well up. The mwahaha scene. So sad.
That old man that's his roommate is a freaking dick.
He was awesome.
No, because he didn't even, didn't tell him to throw his clothes out the freaking window.
He was in a nursing home. He was not having all his faculties.
Well,
and he got invited to his birthday party, so he was his friend. So shut up.
It's fine.
I will also point this out. You have to be honest. This movie is a feel good movie in and out of the theater because this is what Shia LaBeouf says turned his life around.
Yeah.
He was going to bad places, as we know. Then meeting the young man Zach, who is his co-star in the movie, has in his real life friendship that it was built out of this movie is actually what he credits with saving his life. Yeah. So that is also touching as well if you're into the touch and feel.
Yeah,
so
their on-screen chemistry is great.
Oh, it's amazing.
So you can tell that they do have that real life. So I think that's all amazing that this was a feel-good movie and a feel-good story in real life. So it's kind of cool to hear both sides of that story. But you know what is you know who is not feeling good after last week? Diesel, when he got the Queen sweep. Can he make his comeback? Because you know what time it is.
It's time to play the game. Time to play the game.
I will admit that Ron atomic tossed me last week.
Yes, he gave you the atomic toss. By the way, what we played coming in was the actual wrestling theme from the movie. So that was pretty cool that we found that as well. So it is time to play the game. Of course, the rules of the game, simple. It is the closest to the number without going over Price is Right rules, if you will. Of course, I also do keep track of who's closer just in case of ties. Because even though there's four of them, trust me, we've come down to the tiebreaker before. Yes. Because they can both get it wrong, obviously, with the rules in play. And
we do.
Oh, often. Yes. it does happen. Actually, you guys were... Ron was on the money last week, and then the after two were actually off the money, which was kind of funny. But he had already won, so it's good stuff. All right. You ready, guys?
Yep.
So, Diesel, you're the challenger. You go first. And, of course, we always start with IMDb. Out of 10, what did IMDb give it with points?
8.3.
Ronald.
You're a dick. I'm gonna go low, 5.7.
Ron, that would really good for you because it was 7.6 out of 10. Oh. So Diesel busted anyway. So I'm thankful you went low because if you would have gone high, you would have both busted. See what I mean? All right, Ron, out of 100%. Metacritic, that's critic only scores. Can you queen sweep again?
Oh, I think the actual critics actually like this a lot, so I'm going to say 83.
Diesel.
I'm actually going to do the swap with you. I'm going to go like 50%. Mm-hmm. I'm going under.
Wise choice by Diesel, as it was. He did bust. It was 70%, so still a very good score, by the way. Rotten Tomatoes. This is the combined score on Rotten Tomatoes. Diesel, you get to go first out of 100% for the win.
I wish you wouldn't say combined score because there's a weird math going on when you combine these scores.
I don't know how the math works, but that's what there's two scores. There's the critic, there's the fan, and then there's the combined score. We're going by the combined score. That's the only way I can tell you because that's what it says.
Because Rotten Tomatoes is weird.
It is weird.
I want
to stay in the same boat by actually going 60.
60% from Diesel. Ron, for the win.
61.
You dick.
Man, that is a dick move. And it brings him the win. Oh. Ron is your winner again. By the way, 96% on Rotten Tomatoes. So I guess you should have gone super high.
See, that's the thing, because, like, I know the Google users are going to be insanely high, but, like, previous weeks, it's, like, the Rotten Tomatoes number was way down. That's all why right. I went down.
For funsies,
I meted myself
the,
on that
the
one.
Funsies, the word, the Google user, because obviously it doesn't count. Google users, Ron, out of 100%.
89.
Diesel.
I am going to dick you, because in my head, I was thinking 90. Out of doubt.
It's actually 93, so you would yeah. There you go. So I hope you guys enjoyed the game. It was good. Ron has now
2 weeks in a
two
row.
2 weeks in a
making
row.
Making my comeback.
Man. Making the comeback. Don't call it a comeback. He's been here for years.
He ain't no Kim Kardashian.
I was going LL, but you know. With that being said, though, it is time to pay them bills. It's time for shameless plugs. That means if you can hear my voice, that means you know how to find this podcast. But to your friends, easy. Tell them to go to tell them to type 3 Fat Nerds into any podcast provider. Bam, you'll get us. Hit that, smash that subscribe button, and you'll have the show automatically downloaded to you each and every week.
And if you haven't switched over to Parler yet, you can still find us on Facebook. Just type in that search bar, 3 Fat Nerds Podcast. You're going to find our page. You're going to like our page. You're going to comment, rate, review. Help us spread the word of nerd.
Of course, we're also on Twitter and Instagram at 3 Fat Nerds Pod. For all of our social medias, use the hashtag 3FN when talking about the show.
And I don't think there's any hate this week. We were good boys this week. So if you want to share the love with us this week, 3fatnerdspod@gmail.com.
It really is a touching story. There you go. Of course, to double up here, of course, follow us over on twitch.tv/607podcast. This week, the wrestling show is preempted because of Thanksgiving, because usually that comes to Thursday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And I'll make an announcement about that in a second. But we will be back on Twitch on Saturday after the holiday to cover UFC Fight Night starting at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. So come join us for that. It's a lot of fun when we cover the UFC. And, of course, it's a Fight Night, so it's free. So a lot more people can watch. It's not like you have to pay $70 for the pay-per-view. Also, I want to throw this out there. Because we're off, we are putting our first YouTube video up, 607 Podcast on YouTube. Make sure you're following it, as the watch-along for Survivor Series 1990 will be up on Thanksgiving, and that episode will be the replacement episode on the wrestling show for podcast version on this network. So you can just download it on this network if you want to listen to the podcast form. So that's what we're doing for you for Thanksgiving, since that falls on the day we normally record. Now, with that being said, you can also support the show monetarily over on patreon.com/8122productions for as little as $1 a month, and you get a ton of extra bonus content. Both of the Patreon-exclusive shows are dropping this week. I Love Movies, which this month is about Son-in-Law, the greatest Thanksgiving film ever made.
Yep.
And, of course, on Thanksgiving Day, not only is the turkey coming to the table to be stuffed, but Diesel will be stuffing things on your table as he tells you all about food kinks on Love is Scary with Dr. Derek. So make sure you're tuned in. Both of them come out. And the only way you can get those is on Patreon. As little as $1 a month, and you get all of that and more bonus content. Trust me, it's worth it. You definitely want to join. So patreon.com/8122productions.
Did you say support us monetarily? As in HTTP:// O-N-L-Y-F-A. No, I'm kidding. 81 double deuce, PRODUCTIONS.com.
If he ever would stop being a pussy, there would be a link for his OnlyFans accounts on 81 2productions.com.
Hashtag free the nipple.
Until then, guess what? There is none, but there is the links for the Patreon. There is the links for Twitch. There'll be the link for YouTube up there and so much more. Go check out our friends of the show, like the Ocho Duro Parlay Hour podcast. Go check out all the music you hear here, like the Shot at the Robots, Second Suitor, Floodlands, the Foss Fiends from Melbourne, Australia. You can find all their great music on YouTube Music, Spotify, and Bandcamp. Support those guys. Check out what Horror Zone 607 is about. There's all that and so much more over at 8122productions.com. And of course, you can also check out our local sponsor site. Guess what, though? We are going to give a shout out to them local sponsors, starting with the people who provide us with this awesome studio, Dragon Master Games, located at 1235 Upper Front Street, Binghamton, New York. For all your Magic the Gathering gaming needs, you can get those at DragonMasterGames.com. And yes, right now, until there's another shutdown, which is always looming, we are open for business here at Dragon Master Games. Limited numbers, obviously, because of the state of New York. So if you would like to find out when you can play at the premier shop to play Magic the Gathering or Warhammer or Pokemon or any other tabletop game in the southern tier of New York, you can go hit us up on Facebook. Like the page, Dragon Master Games.
And thank you to Rex Rod's Auto Detailing, located at 2004 North Street, Endicott, New York. To call for an appointment, call 607-644-3389. When you're ready to put the pride back in your ride, don't forget to tell them the 3 Fat Nerds sent you.
Ronald?
1 out of 10 stars. Most primitive movie. What a waste of time. This is the most primitive movie I've seen in a while. There is absolutely no story, no new idea, no acting, no suspense. Something one would expect from a big sci-fi movie. The whole movie could be summarized in 2 sentences. Characters are very simple. The dialogue is on a level of a 5-year-old child. Nothing but special effects that I'm puzzled why people are so amazed by the CG in this movie. Natives seem completely unrealistic to me. Not sure why they had to wait 10 years to create this level of computer animation. I guess see this movie for its 3D effects. Otherwise, it has absolutely nothing to offer. Avatar just sucks, people.
There you go. Well, guess what, man? It's going to be a hell of a week if you live here in the States. I know we have listeners all around the world, so I hope that you have a good week until we come back next week to bring you more entertainment, pop culture, and nerdom. If you are in the States, I hope you guys have a great time at your Thanksgiving meals. If you're doing that, even if you're staying at home because of the whole COVID situation, I hope you at least enjoy a good meal and have a great time, watch some football if that's your thing, or whatever you want to do. We are hopefully, as fat guys, we love Thanksgiving, as you can tell. So we are ready to eat and be merry. And we will be back next week. It'll be the build to Christmas and then on to the end of the year. And Ron's under the crunch time because he's only got a few more weeks left of Avatar before we have the new selection for this little his every year bullet point. So we can't wait for that. So I have a really special. So make sure you guys are taking care of yourselves. You know, taking care of others and are having a good time till we see you next week on this show. And Bet, you know what? I got a special one to this. Instead of my normal later nerds, I'm just going to drop this because of Thanksgiving. Gobble, gobble, motherfuckers.
Later, I'll be safe.
Splashing, splashing, splashing.
Avatar just sucks.
I want you to get it. I want you to understand. I'm doing the best I can, but not as good as I wanna be. I just wanna get it. I just wanna comprehend that I have to make amends with the monster inside of me. But I keep forgetting things I need to know. Built up too many fences to let this get the best of me. You can't just forget it, because it will manifest. I'm not getting any rest as it is, I only wanna dream. But I keep forgetting things I need to know. Doing